Good morning. Today's scripture reading is a responsive reading found in the hymn books, number 663, The Confession of Christ. And normally you read the bold print and I read the fine print, so we can start reading together, please, with the first verse. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
I tell you, whoever acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God.
But he who disowns me before men will be disowned before the angels of God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for this reading from your word this morning. Lord, just I pray that you will be with us here as we are gathered today in your name. First of all, to confess you as our Lord and Savior, and also to learn more about you and your will for our lives and what you would have us to do. Lord, I pray that in all things, in our comings and goings and our meetings together, that we would be encouraged and inspired, that we would encourage and inspire each other, that we would live our lives for you, not only here in this place, but also out there in the world. Lord, I pray that we would walk with the knowledge that you go with us and also the confidence that you are our God who has saved us. And Lord, may we never be ashamed to admit this truth before others, and may we always have an answer ready to give to those that we know where our salvation comes from. I pray now that you be with us through this service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. We live in a world that is ever-changing. Everything changes. Technology and things that we didn't even think of have come up in the marketplace. Yesterday, two friends of mine came, and the gentleman, elderly gentleman, when I say elderly, I mean older than me, came in and he said, Joseph, look at this little thing. They gave it to me as a gift. And he said, look, you press this little thing and push it there and push it up and you get all kinds of things, anything you want, music, and all you want is there. So technology has changed, he said. There are no more secrets. It is true. Technology has changed. Technology, politics, religions, morality, and relationship standards change almost daily. Things and ways that were considered bad or shameful are considered okay and just a different lifestyle. There are many activities and philosophies that would have been unwise to identify with and dangerous in many cases. But today it is more than okay to identify with activities and people, no matter what or who they are and what they stand for. And they do it with pride and are willing to even fight to defend their right. I once in a while, or often I should say, receive emails and letters from the Evangelical Fellowship of Canada, from our own Baptist organizations, saying that because of the trend, because of the pressures, because of the government, because of the courts, we have actually to be protected. So would you, we have come to a point to sign a paper as clergymen to say that I will not, for example, marry a homosexual couple, but I cannot do it unless it is the statement of belief of our church. And if the church has a statement of belief or a paper or a whatever that is, that says that we cannot accept that. If we have that, then the government cannot do anything to us, or we cannot be sued. And so now we, the evangelical churches in Canada and in the States, are making sure that we are covered by saying that there are certain things that we will not do. Well, on the other hand, there are many, or maybe the majority of people in the religious world that say, well, there's nothing wrong with that. Therefore, things have changed. In the past, you couldn't even talk about it. Now you can proclaim it from the rooftop, and it's okay. Now, am I saying that we should fight others, we should hate those who don't agree with us? No, not at all. Jesus, as a matter of fact, gave his life for those who were in sin, or those who disagreed with him, or those who had rejected him, and that includes every one of us. And he came and died on the cross for our salvation. Just in brackets, I would like to say that we always choose, pick and choose the sins that we think that are terrible. You know, adultery, fornication, drug addiction, alcoholism, homosexuality, these things are bad, and the rest are not so bad. But the Bible says, even if you know what is right and you don't do it, that is a sin, the sin of omission. So, I'm not here to say that we are better than others. I'm saying that the laws are changing, the world has changed. Things that were considered bad are not considered bad or wrong anymore. On the other hand, to stand up for morality and faith are considered archaic and not politically correct. To believe in a God is fine, but you cannot narrow it down to one particular God, and if you do it, you must be very careful to be politically correct. Well, there are those who believe in a God with a small g, and there are those who believe in God with capital G, and yet this God cannot be called this name or that name because that's blasphemy, but you have to call your God in your own language. It has become almost a very confusing world with religions fighting each other. To believe in God is fine, but don't define him. There are many who would privately tell you that they are believers and followers of Christ, but unwilling to do it publicly. In the church, they will worship and praise Jesus, but outside they will be very silent, if not secretive. The question, though, is why? Well, I can understand in some countries, in some situations, in some environments, some secrecy is necessary, or else you lose your life. And yet we know that Jesus gave his life for our salvation. And often people find themselves in a very difficult situation. For example, we have one situation where the lady is from a background, very different religious background, different everything, and yet she has come to believe in Jesus Christ, and she is reading the Bible, she has prayed with us, but now she cannot reveal that to the family because she will be harmed. I can understand these fears, but let's concentrate this morning to a society in the Western society where every freedom is given, and yet people cannot identify or would not like to identify with their creator, with their God. Why would anyone want to be silent about Jesus? The question is, why not tell the world of the Savior who gave a new meaning to life? Joseph of Arimathea stopped being a secret believer after the cross. As a matter of fact, he went all the way up to Pilate, and I'm quoting Luke 23. He went to Pilate to ask for Jesus' body. Then he took it down and placed it in a tomb. There came a moment in his life that he realized that he was a follower of Jesus Christ. He realized that he believed in Jesus to be the Messiah. He realized that he was being hypocritical by not proclaiming that. Jesus said, if anyone is ashamed to confess me before men, I will not also confess him before my Father. So, either we believe in God, either we believe in Jesus Christ as being our Lord and Savior, the Son of God, or we are following a religion which says, do this, do that, and you'll be happy, you'll be healed, and all these activities, religious activities. And these religious activities are the problem today in many cases where people are forced to practice a religion that they don't believe in anymore, to practice a religion that has lost its power and its meaning, to practice a religion being Protestant, Catholic, or any other religion in the world where only practices matter and not the main person in our faith, who is God, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit that are involved in our daily life. Do you consider yourself a secret believer? And I thought about it all week. A secret believer. What does that mean? Well, there are situations where there are secret agents. Governments will send someone in another country to sort of mingle with the rest of the people and find out things and report them back. Now, I don't know whether it's necessary for any Christian to do that, to go into the office and pretend he is one of them. So why be secret? Why not? Oh, because I believe it's embarrassing to say that we are religious, quote-unquote, or it's embarrassing to say we are Christians. I remember when I joined the Air Force a long time ago, when I went there, they will ask you, what's your religion? Now, I come from a very evangelical background, and I was enlisted, in the Army or in the Air Force of a country that is very zealous of their religious beliefs. As a matter of fact, there was a time that they would say that if anyone, in Greece that is, unless you are a Greek Orthodox, you are a pagan. So I didn't want to be called a pagan, so I said, when they asked me, what are you? I said, I'm a Christian. Okay, they just want, I mean, and then later on I tried my best to cover up my background so they won't know that I was from a non-Orthodox background and I was evangelical in my beliefs. And yet, I was very proud to wear the uniform of the Air Force, and I went nowhere without that uniform because it made a great impression on the teenagers and the girls and everyone else. So I was very proud of the uniform, but not proud of my faith. So I did realize the hypocrisy of my mental, what was in my heart, and I started sharing my background. Well, a lot of us are maybe embarrassed to say that we are Christians, meaning that we are the followers of Christ. And it's easy to say that. But at work, when you say that, you have also to live a life that reflects your belief. Do you consider yourself a secret believer? The Bible has great promises about confessing Christ openly. Jesus said, Whoever acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God. Acknowledging Christ publicly will bring blessings and honor to God and to the person who is acknowledging Jesus. Simply remembering or remember the first three letters of the ABC. Confessing Christ, A. Confessing Christ by acknowledging him with our lips. So the first letter is A and stands for acknowledging. Confessing Christ by acknowledging him with our lips. And in Romans 10:9 we read that if you confess with your mouth Jesus Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Confess with your mouth. Talking about our faith is or should be normal. We talk about a new job, a car, a new relationship, or our children and grandchildren. Why not talk about our Heavenly Father and our Savior, Jesus Christ? We either believe in him to be our Lord or we don't. And if we believe in him, why is he not more important than my car and my house? We must let others know that we have been saved and that we have the joy and peace that we have never had before. I know many have come lately and have confessed their sins to God and have asked for forgiveness, and some have been baptized, others went on in their journey. And yet I know that every one of them who came and confessed or at least shared the burdens that were keeping him enslaved to something were liberated and freed, and the joy and that peace had filled their life. We must let others know that we have been saved. Our testimony or acknowledgement often brings others to Christ. And I believe more people have found Christ through the testimony of someone else than from coming to church, than speaking to a priest, than to listening to an evangelist. Yes, when these great evangelists stand up before a crowd of 10, 20, 100,000 people and you see a few thousand come, or many thousands have come, you don't know who they are and for how many years or how long they will stay in faith. It could be an emotional thing. But when you reach someone personally and this person sees the change in your life, and when this person sees how happy you are and hears your testimony, your confession that you make, that is personal, so personal that it will affect the life of this other person. So person-to-person evangelism is what I believe is the most effective way of reaching out to our friends and neighbors and relatives. In Psalm 107, verse 2, we read, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." And if we don't say so, how would they know? Look, I hear my wife discussing recipes. And sometimes these recipes are secret. They don't want to share them. And yet the other person is very anxious to hear. And maybe so good that this other person now gets excited about and sharing recipes or sharing knowledge or calling about a website. And we share all kinds of things in life, and we are happy for finding out these things. And yet when someone finds God and receives Christ in his or her life and heart, sometimes we are embarrassed, or people are embarrassed, to share it with others because, oh, it's religious stuff. Oh, my goodness, you are going nuts or something. And the fear of being accused of becoming a religious freak sometimes prevents people. And yet that's the greatest news that they should be sharing with others. Peter and John could not keep quiet about Christ when they found him. In Acts 4:20, we read, "For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." Often new believers are the best evangelists. Their joy convinces others to believe, and they too do the same thing, bringing the good news to others, and so on. The telling what God has done in their lives and the change in their and in the, them results in more conversions. And when I speak of conversions, I don't mean for them to become Protestant or to join the Baptist church or to leave one religion and join another religion. That is called conversion. And yet, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about leading someone to God and leading someone to the saving power of Jesus Christ and helping someone to finally find what he or she has been searching for, and that is the peace, the joy, the forgiveness which has eluded this person for so many years. This person has tried many things and yet has not found the peace. Elizabeth Taylor, in the tract that we distribute and they'll be distributing this afternoon, was quoted of saying that, "Yes, I tried men and I tried booze and I tried everything, sex and everything that was available, and yet I'm not happy." Elvis Presley said, when they asked him, a reporter said to him, "Elvis, you said that what all you want in life is success and joy and happiness. Are you happy, Elvis?" And he said, "No, I am as sad as hell." Now, if everything else had failed to bring joy and peace, the other tract we have is about Jim Hendricks. He also stood up one day, and he, after he finished his singing, he said, "Is there anyone here that could talk to me about peace?" And he then expected someone to come. And when no one was able to come and tell him where he could find peace, he killed himself. Well, so what am I saying this morning? I'm saying that when you find life, when you find joy, when you find happiness, when you finally find forgiveness, why keep it a secret? Why not tell your friends that, "You know, I used to be an alcoholic, and now I look at this bottle and I have no desire, even though I do, I am tempted sometimes to take a little drink. I know God is going to help me not to do it. I was a gambler. I was a drug addict. I was a womanizer. I was a pervert, and now the Lord has changed me, has given me a brand new life. This testimony is much better than 1,000 messages from the pulpit. My message is only a message that is given to you, but when you know me and how God has changed my life, that is more powerful than anything else on this earth." Often new believers are the best evangelists. We should never be ashamed to speak of Jesus. Confessing Christ publicly is as simple as ABC. A was acknowledging him or acknowledge him with our lips, and B is confessing Christ by baptism. Now you say, "Why did you throw that in?" But because the Bible says so. Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all nations," meaning followers, students of me. And then he said, "Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." The importance of baptism is very clear in the Great Commission. Baptism was public and important to the early church. 3,000 believers were baptized, we see in Acts 2, verse 41, and I quote, Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the number that day. You know, there are churches, and I've heard pastors and elders and deacons, and I've read constitutions and I've read statements of belief of churches that say, well, we cannot baptize anyone unless he has proven that he is a good follower of Christ. We cannot baptize anyone unless he makes a commitment. We cannot baptize someone unless he has been with us for 3 years, 3 months, or all kinds of things. But the truth of the matter is, the Bible does not say that. The Bible says that people that accepted him and invited him to come in their lives were baptized. John the Baptist didn't wait 3 years to baptize them after their testimony. He baptized them right away. The Ethiopian man was baptized right away when Philip found him reading the Bible and not being able to understand the Bible, and Philip came to him and helped him understand the Bible. The Ethiopian said, and now what is the problem? Why can't I be baptized? And Philip said, no, you can be baptized right away. And we have so many examples. So baptism is actually the outward expression of the inward change. Yes, baptism does not change anyone. Yes, baptism does not make anyone Christian. Yes, the baptism is not necessary for someone to be considered as a believer and go to heaven. But baptism is the result of someone being already converted, if you wish, convicted by the Holy Spirit, and has become a member of the family of God. So as a result of that, he or she publicly says, declares God as his own Lord and Savior, and says, this is what happened to me. I died to sin, and now I am resurrected as a new person. That's why I'm called a born-again believer. We'll have a baptismal service soon, and there are some who have already asked to be baptized. So baptism is the second in the process of declaring God as our Lord and Savior. The importance of baptism is very clear in the Great Commission. Baptism is a picture of the gospel. Baptism is a public identification with Jesus, identification with his death, identification with his burial, identification with his resurrection. Have you been baptized? Your baptism may bring someone to Christ. And then number three in our ABC is confessing Christ by consistency in Christ. Consistency. You yourself, and I'm quoting 2 Corinthians 3:2, you yourselves are our letter written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. True Christian believers are or must be living letters, known and ready and read by everybody. The word is something that convicts you. But then after you accept the word of God, you must live it. Not leave it aside, but your life should reflect that. True Christian believers must be living letters. The world is looking for Christians who are real, not in name, not phonies, not actors, only people who reflect Christ are taken seriously. People judge Christ by how we live. After we say what we had to say, people want to see how we live that testimony or that message. When a man becomes a Christian, even his dog and cat should know it, someone said, and that was so funny. But, and yet I thought about it. What it meant was when someone becomes a believer, a real Christian, he treats everyone and everything in a proper way. So we stop being abusive to our loved ones, abusive to our children, to our parents, in our society. We become people that reflect Christ. The three questions Each one of us has to deal with our, have I acknowledged Christ in words? Have I been baptized since I believe? Am I living a consistent Christian life? If yes, I'm sure God is blessing your faith and blessing you. If no, why? Is it because you have never made Christ your Lord and Savior? Or it is because you are a secret believer? Please remember the words of Jesus in Luke 12, 8 and 9. I tell you, whoever acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God. But he who disowns me before man will be disowned before the angels of God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for saving us not secretly, but publicly. Lord Jesus, you came to this world and you lived a life that was a reflection of who you are. And then you, Lord, publicly declared that you had come to save the lost. And Lord, your life and on this earth was an example of love and compassion. And Lord, if we, and because we confess to be your followers, we must also reflect your love, your kindness, your compassion, and your holiness in our daily life. Please strengthen us, help us, and help us to surrender our lives and dedicate our lives to you. In your blessed name I pray, amen.